Greetings, Gopher fans. Welcome back to the Daily Gopher. Wait, what is this again? Pod?
Yep.
Is it a podcast? It has been so long since we've done one of these. I can't even remember what these are. I think it's a podcast. I am Jeff Frick, joined as always by JD Mill. JD, this podcast, am I saying that right?
That's, if I understand correctly, yes.
Okay, and we just talk, right? And it records, and then we play. I'm pretty sure this is how this works. So we're going to try it anyway and see if we can. We can't do any worse than we did before, I don't think, or maybe better. Who knows?
Right. But. I was just going to say, the nice thing is that the Gophers are horrible. So
well,
in
see, I was
going to
say that the last time you and I did this, I think, was perhaps after the USC game, before you were going to Jamaica. By the way, how's Jamaica? I mean, that's really all anybody cares about. How was Jamaica?
Glorious. It was absolutely glorious. A lot of red stripe was consumed. A lot of rum punch was consumed. A lot of sun. It was good. I was spared. Because of my travels, I was spared the New Mexico State loss, and then I was spared the Miami of Ohio win. So technically,
but you got back just in time for NDSU and that. Because I was going to say, the last time we chatted, the Gophers had just played a strong second half against USC, and we were getting all fired up for the Miami of Ohio game, and I don't think anything's really changed since then, right? I mean, I think things are the last 4 or 5 weeks, I think we're still at that same place. We think this is the same team that played USC tough in the second half, and we're feeling good. This might be a bowl team. I think we're going in the right direction here, right?
I want to go back to there.
I know.
Because that was actually a time when we still had a little bit of hope.
Boy, it unraveled quickly. As Ron Burgundy would think, things escalated quickly. It got out of hand.
It really did.
And Rick hit a guy in the heart with
a
trident.
Killed the guy.
Yeah, seriously. It's been, I don't know about you, it's been hard to write Gopher football this week, especially after last week. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't watch the Michigan game. I went canoeing with my lovely wife on the St. Croix, which is quite nice this time of year if you try it. I had the game on DVR. I was going to go home and watch it probably about 11:30. I got a text from your cousin saying that he couldn't drink fast enough, so I texted him back, being like, hey, not watching the game, just gonna DVR. He's like, well, they'll be doing a lot of fast-forwarding. So once I got home, I was like, you know what, if he's already saying that's tuning in, maybe I should just check the score and I won't have to bother. And sure enough, I saw it was 58-0 and said, well, that's about all I need to know. I don't want to have to watch that one.
Yeah, well, my lovely wife and I went to join said cousin and his parents and some other folks to watch the game at a local establishment. And got a little bit of a late start due to the events of the previous evening. And it was 14-0, soon to be 21-0 by the time we got there. So I didn't waste any time in ordering my first beer and proceeded to have several more. And it was just one of those days. Feels like it's going to be one of those seasons.
Yeah, and I must say you had an excellent post. It was either the next day or Monday on Off Tackle Empire about how to cope with a crappy Big Ten football team if they're not perhaps meeting expectations.
I thought that was
a great post. Well, it was,
thank you.
It was true, though.
Yeah, quite cathartic to write. I actually wrote that while I was watching the Vikings' horrible game on Sunday and additionally drinking more.
It's just all around being a Minnesota sports fan right now is tough, especially when you look east to those damn Wisconsinites who seem to just be getting everything right at this point. It's just when you couldn't think it'd be worse, then you're mirrored with how well they're doing and just makes it all that much more so.
Yeah, definitely a charmed life over east of the Mississippi.
So, I mean, what do we do at this point? We can't go back in time to the week after USC when we're feeling good about things. We apparently can't fast forward time fast enough to get to next season, since this one's barring miracle of miracles, seems like already a lost cause. I mean, what do you do when you're, what, five games in, your team's 1-5, 1-4, and they're coming off a 58-0, you know, bull whooping at the hands of Michigan?
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, you know. It's like you were saying, it's tough to come up with anything to write about. You know, it's kind of one of those things where it's to the point that we've stopped actually writing about the games and, you know, how the games go and things like that. And we're starting to write about, you know, how to cope and what the program should be doing and, you know, if Jerry Kill was the right hire and all those kind of things. So, you know, I don't, you know, I'm trying to immerse myself in the fact that it is college football season. You know, we are, unfortunately, after this weekend, we'll be halfway through the season. So, you know, I'm trying to just enjoy it. I really enjoyed the first half of the Wisconsin Nebraska game, and as much as I hate to say it, Wisconsin is very legit and they are fun to watch. So you know, that's kind of the stance that I've taken. Drown my sorrows as much as possible during the Gopher game, and then enjoy the season. That is college football after the game.
Yeah, it's about all you can do. And I mean, I think the fire Jerry Kill site has to be from like an Iowa fan or somebody who's not, because it's ridiculous. You know, we're five games in. I think if anything, it just proves just how little talent was on this football team. You know, we wondered, boy, when Tim Brewster took over for Glenn Mason, like, boy, we thought Mason left the cupboard bare. But I mean, this team is just flat awful, and we have a coaching staff who knows what they're doing, who has a track record of success, and if they can't get these guys to play and be competitive, Vince Lombardi, Mike Ditka, Bill Parcells, any, you know, George Halas, Bear Bryant, I don't know if anybody could have got this team to bowl game, seeing just with the effort we've seen the last couple of weeks.
Right. Yeah, you can tell it's a group of kids that are just kind of beaten down with the whole situation and everything that they've gone through. And, you know, it's clear that, you know, this coaching staff has is in a very difficult position, because obviously you don't want to give up on your seniors. You don't want to, you know, say things like that we're in a rebuilding mode and things like that, because you want those guys to be able to play and compete. But at the same time, if you're trying to build a program with, you know, what you deem to be your guys, and obviously, you know, Jerry Kill's guys are, he wants kids that are fast, kids that play hard every second of every play, and really go all out. And, you know, they're in a difficult position having to get through this right now. You know, like I said, we're not going to sit here and rehash the Michigan game, because, you know, everything that you need to know is on the scoreboard, number one. And
yep.
Number two, you know, we're not going to look ahead at Purdue, because even though it might be the last winnable game on our schedule, you know, there's just not much you can break down. You've got two bad football teams that are going to play to see who's not quite as bad on Saturday. So,
well, and it's two, I don't know, you can call Purdue bad. I mean, they're 2-2, but it's two bad football teams, and Purdue looks to be pretty much better in every single statistical possible way.
Right.
If they just play well, I think I think they win at home. I don't know. The Gopher thing is just unraveled so bad. I mean, I said in my blog earlier in the week that, you know, it's a team that played USC tough for a half. They beat Miami of Ohio. You know, they've shown some flashes, but it's like after last week, you just, you know, you wonder if they're ever going to win again with the way they played. You know, it's like if they get a first down, I think it would be like a moment of joy with the way they were. It skewed the perspective a bit, but at the same time, you just realize it's just not a talented football team that we thought, you know, maybe the loss to New Mexico State in game two was just them overlooking them, but they line that game up and play them 10 times. I don't know if the Gophers beat New Mexico State five of them, you know, and North Dakota State looked like a better football team from beginning to end You know, when they played NDSU, and that's a 1AA school. I mean, that's probably, yeah, out of USC just had a bad half, or they caught him off guard. It was first season. I don't know. But I mean, that's kind of been like the one blip on the radar or the outlier. And that's when you start being like, okay, we've seen a lot of crappy football and a couple of good halves. Which of these things maybe doesn't belong? You know, we want to believe in the better part, but it just could be, this can be a long year.
Well, and I mean, if we're going to be honest, you know, the Gophers beat Miami of Ohio, but that's certainly not the tough Miami of Ohio team that they've been in the past. And we didn't play that well that game. I mean, the difference in that game was Marquise Gray. And, you know, that's not the kind of game of – I mean, obviously you'll take a win any way you can get it, but if you need to get 170 rushing yards out of your quarterback to win a game – that's not necessarily the way you want to do it. So, you know, they, realistically, looking at these five games, I think it's absolutely right to say that they've played one good half of football, and that was the second half against USC. Now, you know, they've had a couple of offensive series. You know, the first drive last week, or sorry, not last week, the first drive against NDSU. Was a good drive and really the kind of textbook drive that I think that this offense needs to have. But outside of, you know, that second half against USC and a series here and there throughout the last couple of weeks, well, it's definitely not last week, but, you know, against NDSU and New Mexico State, you know, we really haven't had too much to be excited about.
No, and I think that's a good I'd forgotten about that NDSU drive, the opener. That was like, holy crap, this is what we had expected. This is what this offense is supposed to look like. You know, they were methodical. They were running the ball well. Q was making good throws, and, you know, they marched down the field. You know, when they started the game like that, I was like, hey, here we go. We're coming out. We're ready to play. And then, of course, North Dakota State marched right down and scored again, and it went from there. But, yeah, I don't know. It's been – they were, you know, 0-11 on third down against Michigan, and it's just so few total yards. I mean, it's just completely collapsed. I mean, it's with Gray the way he is, you know, turf toe and the foot injury, so much of what he does is being mobile and athletic and running, you know, that hurts him. I don't know about you, but I mean, I feel like, look, let's give everybody the Purdue game. Let's go with the same lineup and the veterans and the upperclassmen we've been using. But if they lose at Purdue, what does it hurt, and who's going to object besides the seniors and their parents to say, look, we're 1-5, this isn't working, we're rebuilding in year one, let's just go to the kids. I mean, if things don't work out against Purdue this Saturday, at that point I would just be like, look, we're going with the young guys, we're going to start building with the future of the program and go from there. Thanks to the seniors, but that's, you know, that's about all we can do.
Right. Well, and I think you've already kind of started to see that happen. I mean, Kill mentioned in his press conference that they had some plays on Saturday against Michigan where on offense of 11 players, they had 8 true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. So, I mean, you're definitely starting to see that happen. He really, you know, seems to be saying, look, you know, the guys that are going to play the way we want to play, the guys that are going to give the kind of effort that we want to see are the guys that are going to get minutes on Saturdays. And, you know, that's already starting to happen. So, you know, I think you're right. I think, if we do lose, I just about said, assuming we lose to Purdue, that's horrible. but if we do lose to Purdue, I think, you know, we're just going to continue to see more and more of those young kids getting a shot and, you know, with an eye towards the future.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for, you know, like the Kim Roystons and some of those guys. McKnight's obviously going to play. That's, you know, guys like him and Lair, but yeah, for some of those guys, you feel bad because you know that they've tried their best and are, you know, really trying to put in the best effort they have. But I mean, it just hasn't happened. I mean, it really hasn't. You look at the guys who are tackling, you know, it's just, I got one of the most shocking things to me is just that this defense is almost worse than last year's. And I didn't think that was possible. It's a lot of, maybe just come to the realization, like, look, this is just a bad group of defenders. It just is. I mean, they're actually on pace for less sacks than they had last year, if you can believe it. Not less sacks, by the way, less sacks, just so we're clear on that. But
Well, probably that, too.
Yeah, let's be honest. The girls at VU are not going to be impressed with a team that can't rush the quarterback. I mean, they right. know.
That's
yeah,
right.
They're not impressed. But seriously, yeah. I mean, it's a defense that statistically is worse in just about every single way possible. That's where I'm like, look, man, just throw the true freshmen and the young guys in there and just right. figure it out, because this group clearly just can't get it done.
Well, you know, and to me, when you look at the team, and, you know, it's so cliche in football when you talk about being able to run the ball and being able to stop the run, but you know, those are just two things that we can't do, and it starts up front. Both our offensive line and our defensive line just are not getting the job done so that everybody else on the field can do their jobs. You know, somebody remarked that the linebacker play has been subpar. And, you know, while that may be the case, I think it's difficult to you know, talk about or single out one position like the linebackers, saying that they've underperformed when, you know, what help have they had? You know, I everything starts up front. That defensive line cannot keep anybody from running the ball. They can't get to the passer. It's just very difficult to win football games when you can't win that battle up front. And we're just a team on both sides of the ball that can't get it done right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's Rollis and Tinsley and Keenan Cooper, I think, are good players, and they have been in their careers. And you feel for those guys, because I'd like to see what they could do with some defensive ends that could get after the quarterback and some tackles that could either, you know, create some pressure up the middle or at least occupy some blockers. But the fact is, there is no push and no pass rush up front. And the secondary is just guys are wide open. I mean, you just see it no matter what team we played, that the quarterbacks are just picking them apart. I mean, it, you know, it's like three guys basically by themselves trying to carry a defense right now, and Royston too. But I mean, he's got so many tackles because so many guys get to the secondary, either running the ball or catching it. But it's just, it is. And I agree with you. It's the lines on both sides that have been the biggest problem. And I, you know, With the coaching staff, with this kind of resume and with this kind of success, you know that if it's still this bad 5 weeks in, this is not a problem that's just going to be fixed magically. This is something that they're trying to patch it together, but, you know, I fear this is going to be a season-long problem and something that isn't going to get figured out until we get some new guys in here next year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's just clear that they don't have the kind of players that fit this scheme right now. And, you know, partially you look and you go, okay, well, then they should be, you know, trying to run a different scheme or doing something different. And I don't know if that's the case. I think, you know, I think you can't reinvent the wheel for a season just to try to win some games. You know, when you're trying to build a program and build the future, and, you know, I'm sure I sometimes talk out of both sides of my mouth when that's, you know, something like that is the case, because you certainly want to win games. But, you know, I think that this coaching staff was brought in here and people were, you know, became happy with the hire through spring ball and into the fall, because Kill is a guy who's got continuity. They know how to do it. They've got a formula for success. And I think you need to be able to stick with that. And hopefully, you know, that's something that we begin to see some return on as early as possible.
Yeah. You know, the people that are saying this wasn't the right hire, not the right guy, there's issues. I mean, look, this team is a long way from contending. We've seen that through five games. I don't even want to think about how it's going to look against Nebraska or Wisconsin or some of the other teams left on there. But it's a long rebuilding process. You know, Coach Kill said that to when he got here. I think probably nobody knew quite how long it was going to be and quite how far away we were. But, you know, it's clear this team's got a ways to go to turn it around. And, I mean, I saw one of our commenters had a stat for Barry Alvarez that he was – you know, below 500 in his first 3 years at Wisconsin. He was 1-10, 5-6, and 5-6 in his first 3 years. Year four, suddenly 10-1 in a Rose Bowl. You know, and not saying that's going to happen with Coach Kill, but this could be a very, very ugly year. It could very well be a one-win season. It doesn't mean he's the wrong guy. It just means it's going to take that long to figure it out and to get things turned around, because there's not a lot of talent here. There's a big hole and a big gap in classes as far as from the seniors down to the young kids. Not a lot of juniors, not a lot of sophomores are going to be able to contribute. It's pretty much some seniors that have kind of been battered and bruised for their ego for 4 years of losing. And then a bunch of young kids who are, you know, mostly just a little too green to be competitive in the Big Ten right now. And that's where we're at. But, I mean, look, he's recruited well so far. I don't know how the hell he pulled that four-star receiver out of North Carolina, but he did that. You know, I wish we could get Isaac Hayes from St. Thomas Academy now, just throw him and Tommy Olsen on the interior of the line and just say, you know, let's get your feet wet and get you going. But he's the right guy. It just sucks that it's going to take a while, but I think, you know, that's what we're faced with.
Right. And, you know, not only did it take Barry Alvarez, you know, 2-3 years to get Wisconsin to where they ended up being, you know, Kirk Ferentz was, you know, 1 or 2 wins his first couple of years. And Jerry Kill, you know, the other places that he's built programs up has had typically very bad first years. So, you know, there's some precedent there. I think people need to be patient. You know, like we've been saying, there was, you know, some people were getting up in arms this last week saying that, oh, Jerry Kill's starting to blame Tim Brewster and blame the players. And I don't think that's the case. You know, he's saying that he's working with what he's got, and that's a very true statement. But, you know, he's also been very, very clear about the fact that, hey, this is my team. This is the coach's job to make this team better, and it's going to take time. We're going to do it our way. We're going to stick with the process. But, you know, at the end of the day, the buck stops with me. So, I mean, I think, like I said, you know, we can sit and watch the games every week, which we will, and, you know, be miserable and get upset about it and grin and bear it, because, you know, at some point we get to get through this season and start looking ahead to next season.
Yeah, I like your idea. Just drinking a lot during the games will get us through. It sucks. Nobody likes this. You know, if this is going to be a 1 or 2 win team this year, I have no idea what we're going to talk about on a week-to-week basis. They're not going to be, you know, a quick fix. It's going to be a turnaround. It could be 2 or 3 years before we start seeing the team we want to see here. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm a Gopher fan. You're a Gopher fan. We're here for the team. We're going to support them. But, yeah, it's not fun. But, I mean, it is what it is right now.
It is. So we'll have to figure out creative ways to talk about this.
Something. Yeah, maybe we'll start doing a blog on beer, music, or something else. And then, oh, by the way, just throw in the scores of Gopher football. Although we do have basketball and hockey around the corner, maybe they'll be a little better and give us something a little more to cheer for, because the Vikings clearly aren't helping.
It'd be fun if we had some hockey and basketball to cheer for.
So to wrap up, I mean, for this week at Purdue, it really have no idea. You know, part of me feels like if Purdue plays well, they're going to win, and that's just all there is to it. The other feels like, you know what, it's been a team where it's been hard to judge, you know, what their motivation is going to be from week to week and how they're going to come out playing. But boy, after getting their asses handed to them by Michigan, there was ever a week to come out fired up and prove people wrong and want to get a win. This is the week. So, you know, if Q's anywhere close to healthy and the offensive line decides they want to start blocking and protecting the quarterback and opening some holes, and the defensive line might actually want to get after the quarterback, we might see a game. It's what I'm hoping for. ESPN certainly hoping for it. I can't believe it's an ESPN one game, but it is 11 a.m. there for them and Purdue. And gosh, I'm just hoping the Gophers show up and make a game of it.
Yeah. Hopefully something clicks, because it'd be nice to have some flashes of good play to be able to talk about next week.
That would be nice, because it's all about us and what we have to talk about here and write about. Right. So, you know, if they could at least do that for our sake, I would appreciate it.
That's right.
Well, I think this overly joyous, positive podcast is probably about time to come to an end here. Minnesota Gopher football, everyone. 2011, catch the fever. Try not to get too excited. We hope you don't have everybody too fired up for Saturday after this one. Yeah. But yeah, so we apologize. We wish there was more we could do, but this is just where it's at this week. So I don't know. Said Purdue, I'm not going to make a prediction. I just hope the Gophers show up and we see a game. That's about where I'm at. You, any predictions, or let's just hope we get something decent while you're drinking?
Yeah, I you know, my only prediction is probably a six-pack by halftime.
Nice. That's all you need to say. Well, then, that'll about wrap it up for this. Maybe this is why we only do this once every 4 or 5 weeks, because this is how it ends up. yeah, that'll do it for another rousing rendition of the Daily Gopher Football Podcast. It is an 11 a.m. kickoff. It is, looks like, still an ESPN game, unless ESPN finds something better to show. But coming to you live from Purdue, check the blog. We'll have the open thread as always. Maybe, hopefully, possibly, we'll get something positive to cheer for. But if not, we'll be here anyway. So that'll about wrap it. I am Jeff Frick for JG Mel. Stay classy and go Gophers.
Skyima.
Stick around.